When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What's happening, man? I'm just starting to peel a little bit, you know? My back is starting to peel some and stuff. You know what I'm saying, Jay? Just peeling a little bit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, just a little bit. Oh, yeah, no shirt man. On yesterday out in the sun. That's what you're trying to tell me?
You know, man, just peel a little bit. I didn't even go. I think I went out to water the grass a little bit or something. And
you don't water your own grass. Get out of here.
Got burned up a little bit. You know, standing out in the beautiful sunshine.
He got a team of six landscapers out there watering his grass. What are you talking about, water the grass?
You know, I was standing out there, you know, watering the grass.
Watering the grass, talking out of your, you know what.
Let me tell you something, Keith. The sun can take it out of you a little bit, too. It can make, especially when you've been at the Lakers game all night and you haven't slept.
Yeah, I'm okay. No, you didn't know. I got out of there mid third quarter. Mm-hmm. So I was okay. I mean, I got a few hours. I got a few hours of sleep. I was fine. It was depressing, but jeez.
Somebody get this man a Red Bull. All right, listen. Or I should say some coffee. I'm doing free commercials. Listen. Charles Woodson, Hall of Fame cornerback, was on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. And he was talking about what the Packers should do with Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this.
I'm putting on my GM hat, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what are we going to do this next season? And I look at the roster that we have. You know what? I'm thinking about trading Aaron Rodgers and see what I can get in return for him. Maybe I can get a quarterback that can help kind of steady my quarterback room and get some competition for Jordan Love. I'm telling LaFleur, hey, Jordan Love does not leave the building this offseason. We're going to get him prepared to play. Because when I look at the team and this defense and the way that defense performed, they have a good team. And so they know that they'll be able to go into the next season being able to be solid on that side of the ball and then let the offense catch up.
I understand what he means. Key, I want to ask you something. Because we've discussed this in the first hour. I want to get back into it. But based on our other discussion, I feel like we can attack this a little bit differently right now. I saw a Jimmy G-led team. I saw Jimmy G lead them right past an Aaron Rodgers team. So I'm thinking if you just drop Jimmy G into Aaron Rodgers'
spot. Can I just press time out for one second? So are you saying Jimmy G led the 49ers past Aaron Rodgers?
Part of it.
I understand part of it.
Yeah.
It was more the Kyle Shanahan offense and the way they – okay, I just want to...
Sure, yeah, but like, by the way, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur,
I just want to set this narrative that Jimmy G is the only driving force that he's led the
I saw Jimmy G make plays down the stretch that Aaron Rodgers failed to make.
I think it's
make.
Good to provide context on this. That's all I'm saying
Jimmy
about Jimmy G.
played better
Sorry,
than Aaron...
Key, you know, I just got to
wait, Jimmy G,
that.
Let me be very clear, played better than Aaron Rodgers down the stretch in that game. His team won, Rodgers' team lost. Let me add that, okay?
There, that's a good caveat.
So I just saw that happen.
Yes.
And I think if Jimmy G was on the Packers, would they really go any less far in the playoffs? I mean, probably a playoff win or two.
Oh my goodness.
It's different though, Max, baby.
Thank you, man.
Jimmy G is a serviceable quarterback. But when you replace Aaron Rodgers with a Jimmy G, you're going to be missing a lot. You're not going to be missing a little. You're going to be missing a lot. And then in terms of Jimmy G going into Lambeau and winning that football game, unless he plays special teams, I don't think he plays special teams because the special teams is what beat the Green Bay Packers, not Jimmy G. He made one or two throws that made a difference in the game, and Aaron Rodgers missed one or two throws that made a difference in the game. When you swap out quarterbacks, situations with Aaron Rodgers, for instance, Green Bay relies heavy on him, like really. Relies a lot on him to be the guy, to get the football, to Devontae Adams, all of those sort of things. If you swapped quarterbacks, and I put Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco, for instance, and gave him the Jimmy G playbook, but on page 6 of that playbook at the bottom, do not let Jimmy G throw. Winning game by 3. Now, all of a sudden, let Aaron Rodgers throw, winning game by 3. You supplement him for him, but you allow Aaron Rodgers to do what you didn't trust Jimmy G to do late in games, because Aaron Rodgers has shown that he has the ability to do those sort of things. It's almost like going back to Seattle, for instance, Max and Jay. Seattle had a certain philosophy and recipe that worked to success. Then all of a sudden they wanted to rely so heavily on Russell Wilson, they took his best characteristics away as a player and gave him something totally different to where he can't get over the hump now. And I think that's where you are with Aaron Rodgers if he's on the move. You can put him in places and situations like Tennessee where you didn't trust Ryan Tannehill to do certain things, or San Francisco, as you've been pushing for a long time, Max, where you didn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and now Aaron Rodgers is there to do those things.
Key, can I give the Cliff Note version of what you just said? Let's just never put Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy G in the same damn sentence together. Let's just not do that.
Well, like
They've been to the same number of Super Bowls.
Garoppolo just went past
Aaron
Rodgers.
How many MVPs has Jimmy G won?
But that's my point.
Is Jimmy G ever going to be considered the greatest quarterback to?
Neither will
Rodgers. No, but I get what Max is saying. I hear what he's trying to tie into the argument, but from a real athlete perspective,
it don't work that way,
yeah,
man.
But from a GM's perspective, it might.
When have you been a GM?
Look, I have to be a GM to talk about it from a GM's perspective.
No, you just said from a GM perspective.
Yes, you said from an athlete's perspective, it doesn't work that way. I said from a GM's perspective.
Have you seen the GMs in this league? They look like Max.
Exactly. So, by the way, now a coach does too, as a matter of fact. So, the point is this, McDaniel. Except I don't have glasses. You're talking about the following, in my estimation. Let's look at the Stafford trade. Look, we got, like, we could lose in the Super Bowl, thinks the Rams, again with Stafford. And then some people will say, well, for that, why'd you make the trade? Because you lost with Goff. But the Rams know, yes, we did lose anyway, but we raised the chances that we would win, right?
Absolutely.
If you ran it back, we'd have a better chance to win. And that's all you can do is not just look backward, but look forward and think, how do we stack the deck in our favor? So, Jay, if you're talking about Rodgers raises the odds on any given play that you succeed over Jimmy G, I agree with that. Here's the thing. Key has talked about this. Because you had, and he just alluded to it, because you have a Rodgers on your team, human nature is that you're going to rely on that more. So I don't care how you get there. Well, Jimmy G is limited in certain ways, so you play it differently. The bottom line is the result's the same. So if I'm the Packers, why not get a guy like that in there plus 3 first-round picks?
Well, look, if you're looking to get a haul for Aaron Rodgers and you feel like you could be in the same position that you were with Aaron Rodgers, good luck.
Good luck.
But here's what I'm going to say. The same time that Kyle Shanahan took the playbook away from Jimmy G, you're going to have to take that playbook away from Jimmy G. So you're in the same situation the San Francisco 49ers are in. Do you want to be in that situation? Or do you want to be in a situation where, Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback. We need a throw. I think he can make that throw.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Alluding to the Rams situation, Max, what you talked about.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, and I like Jared Goff. I like him. Cal guy, California guy. I love him. Surfer, the whole deal. He couldn't make that throw that Matthew Stafford made against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a defender bearing down, ready to hit him right in the chin. He would have chucked and ducked. Matthew Stafford stood in there, brave, and delivered it to Cooper Kupp. So that's why I gave up 2 1s and a 3. Because of that particular throw. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't make that throw.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's why do it.
No doubt. I would trade him straight up. But if I'm getting 3 firsts. No?
Yeah, I'm not. But you might be in the same situation again.
I haven't said Matthew Stafford is in a different conversation than what we're talking about with Jimmy G.
No, the Stafford is the Rodgers in that analogy.
I hear you.
Goff is the Jimmy G. I'm just saying.
Fine.
Keyshawn J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
General Manager Max.
That's right. He says he is the best at his position in all of the NFL. So Key's wondering why he needs to be politicking for a certain role on Super Sunday. That's next. Keyshawn J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined by Jeff Saturday. What's going on, Jeff?
What's up?
Jeff Thursday. How many times you heard that joke?
Oh, never. This is the first one, bro. You just broke new ground.
Got to laugh like it's the first time you heard it every time. Oh, I'm So Jeff is here to play Take Your Pick with us. He's giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Here is Jalen Ramsey, Jeff. Listen to this. He's the Rams cornerback, in case you're wondering.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
On the matchup with Ja'Marr Chase, he's a receiver for the Bengals. Really good. Real good rookie.
He's he's pretty decent. Both of them. Super Bowl, biggest game of the
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super Bowl is this Sunday. It's a big event.
Week?
Yeah.
Is it this week? Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So, Jeff, here is Jalen Ramsey. Listen to him on his matchup with the hopes for.
Of course, that's what I'm asking for. That's what I want. You know, if whoever you think your best man is, put me on him. Let me help the team win this game. That's what it's all about. But you're gonna get to see that matchup. You're gonna have opportunities to see it, and I'm gonna be ready for him.
Talking about Ja'Marr Chase, there, he wants that matchup. So let's, with that in mind, play a little Take Your Pick. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Ramsey versus Chase. Take your pick.
Ooh. Listen, this is tough for me. I'm gonna go Chase, but I'll say this. I don't think it's going to be as much as people anticipate. Like Raheem Morris understands the benefit of having Ramsey matched up with him. But if it's 50% of the reps, I would be shocked. I mean, I would think it would be less. I would think they're going to double him. They're going to play zone behind it. And then occasionally they'll match him up in man. And I think Ramsey will do just fine. I don't think he's going to get exposed or anything. I just don't think it's going to be nearly the – he ain't going to just track him every play. Like, Raheem Moore's smart enough to know that ain't going to live. You don't want Ja'Marr Chase beating you, so don't even allow it.
Yeah, they're not going to have him just match up with him the entire game. They're going to move him around in different places. Sometime they'll double him. Sometime they'll single him up. But here's what I would say. This favors Jalen Ramsey, and the reason it favors Jalen Ramsey, and you know this, Jeff, because you played it, the offensive line. Whenever you have the quarterback – staring down the gun barrel and running for his life because of Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Floyd and company, the defensive back is always going to win in that situation.
Yeah, great point. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I just don't think it's going to be the matchup, you know, that we're all hoping for.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of a letdown, but I'll take Jalen Ramsey just because of that too.
Yeah, and the thing about Joe Burrow is he's got T. Higgins, he's got Boyd. Even if your tight end is having an MCL issue, whatever, he'll spread it around. He's got Mixon. He doesn't have to just target his boy, you know, his guy.
Yeah, exactly. And let's be clear. Like Evans put one up on Ramsey too. This isn't Revis Island. Like, all of a sudden you put a receiver out there and he's just closed down. Like Chase is a freaking beast too. Beast. So I wouldn't want to match up. I know guys like that, and they think I wouldn't want that the whole time either.
Right. It's always favors the receiver. Except Key's point about the O-line, Jeff. I keep trying to tell you how important the O-line is. One day you'll get it through your head.
I'm glad Key jumped on board. Like, he's coming over. I respect it, you know?
Burrow versus Stafford. Take your pick.
Ooh. Listen, man, Stafford has played lights out. He's been the MVP for the Rams. There's no doubt in my mind. He has played in the biggest moments. He has played lights out. So I'm going to take Stafford. I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to take Stafford right here. This guy's played – I mean, I know he threw the ball up and Tart doesn't catch it, but guess what? He didn't catch it. Burrow can do the same. And Stafford, in the biggest moments of the playoffs, has played lights out this season. And he is a huge reason why they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and look, Matthew Stafford is the reason that they're in the Super Bowl. They went out and got him, Jeff, gave up the picks to get him. If there was a sort of playoff MVP, he would be that guy. He's completing about 73% of his passes, 900 yards. I think he has 6 touchdowns to the 1 boneheaded interception that he threw against San Francisco, and he could have had a second one, like you mentioned. Tart just dropped that one. The thing that excites me about Matthew Stafford is he understands there's other receivers on this football team other than Cooper Kupp. He's got OBJ, he's got Jefferson, and we'll see with Higbee if he's able to go.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go with Stafford too. And look, I know over the last 2 days we've had OBJ, we've had Gronk talk about how cool Joe Burrow is and how much he's changed the culture of Cincinnati and how so many players will want to play with him and all the nicknames. But you haven't been hearing a lot of that same chatter about Matthew Stafford. And I think that actually plays to favor Matthew Stafford. He's always the underdog, it feels like.
I love what Stafford's doing in this playoffs. He is writing his own script. And every time it looks like the football gods are like, this is not about you. It's about Tom Brady coming back. And he's like, it's about me.
That's right.
And makes the play. And by the way, Aaron Donald's the most important player in the whole series because in the whole postseason, because once again he will wreak havoc with the offensive line.
Absolutely.
And affect the rest of the game. I'm still not picking against Joe Burrow. Give me
it.
Joe Burrow.
I love
Joe
it.
Thorough. Bengals offensive line. I just mentioned it against the Rams D line.
Yeah, Rams D line. I mean, this isn't even close. This is the largest mismatch in the game, in all honesty, when you think about it. I mean, this is a team that has given up the most sacks in the NFL and the most pressures, and they're going against one of the most prolific pass rushing teams. And I'll say this, it's not even like what the Rams can do. They can single you up and they get great mismatches that way against the Bengals, but they also do a really good job of running pass rush games. So in known passing situations, it becomes even more vital. And so this is a major concern for the Bengals. They will have to disguise their protection so that nobody can just pin their ears back and let it rip to have a chance. Because as well as Joe Burrow has played and been able to manipulate the pocket and get outside the pocket, if the Rams with Von Miller and Floyd keep him in the pocket, the interior of that can get home. That is a scary place to be if you're the Bengals.
I'm going to say one thing, Jeff. 99. He eats up 2, possibly 3. The rest is history.
And still gets home. Still gets home.
And still gets home.
Unbelievable.
Jeff, what's the mindset coming into this game for guys like Von Miller and Aaron Donald? Knowing that the O-line for Cincy is like that, right?
Time to hunt, bro. I'm telling you right now, like these cats are juicing each other every day at practice. Time to freaking hunt. Like they're thinking of every game they can run ricochets, which means like hit a hip of a guard and then ricochet to the quarterback. Like leave it all out there. Dude, get at his feet, grab at him. Don't have to be a sack. You just want to make him move off his spot. These cats, I'm telling you, man, this is as juiced. I can remember Freeney and Mathis and those guys having conversation with Raheem Brock on the inside. Like just pin the pocket down, man, and make these guys uncomfortable. I can assure you all these dudes are talking about hunting.
Hey, Jay, you've been to the zoo before, right? You've seen the lions being fed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just imagine what
that's what they feel like.
It's always the defensive tackles. Like, if they collapse the pocket, and I'm a Giants fan, I saw it happen twice against the Patriots. You collapse that pocket, a lot of times you win the game. That's why I think if the Rams win, I love the odds against Von Miller as MVP. Because talk about who's going to eat because of Aaron Donald. You put 2-3 dudes on him, Von Miller.
Yeah.
He could win his second Super Bowl MVP as a defensive end.
But, Jeff, they've got to stay disciplined too, though, right?
100%.
Because Joe Burrow has the ability to escape if he needs to. He can move around in the pocket.
Yeah, and listen, your point is well taken. If he gets outside the pocket, that's the problem with Von Miller and with Floyd. Like, their rush lanes, they have to have rush lane integrity, which means they can't just get pinned inside because if Burrow gets outside, that's really where he's most lethal. Like, when he buys that real time where he can get out and be stretching himself towards that sideline, he becomes vicious out there. So, to your point, it is 100% true. Keep him in the pocket and force him to make those throws with trash at his feet, even if you don't get the sack, as opposed to letting that guy get outside.
McVay versus Taylor, battle of the coaches.
I'm going to take McVay here. This guy's an incredible football coach, and he has done it. This is the second time in 3 years he's in the Super Bowl. I know he didn't have a great turnout, in the first Super Bowl against Belichick. I mean, this guy knows how to script, man, and he puts his players in the best positions, and he creates scheme to get them open, and then he allows them. The biggest thing I heard from him, he talked about that in the first Super Bowl, he tweaked and did too much later in the week of the second week. He's not going to do that. Man, let your players play, bro. Like, you're here for a reason. Like, what you've done is enough. Dial up your best plays and let your guys go execute. That's how you win Super Bowls.
Second time around, you mentioned it, Jeff. He learned from having that extra time where he was changing the game plan.
Yeah.
Literally like, oh, I'm going to go with this and I'm going to go with that. So he that's out the way now. On top of that, one of the things that the Rams did that was extremely smart, in my opinion, because this shows that he trusts his team. He understands who his team is. They're staying at home.
Yes.
They're staying at home. Nobody stays at home in the National Football League before the Super Bowl. But the Rams are staying in their own houses, sleeping in their own beds. So he understands his team. He knows what's at stake. I trust Sean McVay in this situation.
I just talk about pressure. I mean, Max, you always make this point. You know, pressure either bursts pipes or it makes diamonds, right? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like this opportunity, it feels like Zach Taylor's playing with house money. Like, all right, like nobody really expected us to be here.
Yeah.
I know, even though internally those may have been the expectations for that team. But for Sean McVay in this moment, the fact that they've gotten here before with Jared Goff, the way that they're all in, this is a moment that he must capitalize on.
I also like McVay. By the way, he's 35 years old. He's coaching in his second Super Bowl in 4 years. He's 35. It's amazing.
It is
amazing. I will say one thing. Just like if the Rams win, Von Miller has a pretty good shot to win MVP in my estimation because of the way things might play out. If the Bengals win, Zach Taylor's going to get enormous credit because I don't see how that happens without him scheming up ways around the offensive line
Absolutely.
To slow down the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And if they win because of that, Zach Taylor is going to be lauded out of like the way, think of Bowles in the Super Bowl, the way they played Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the one caveat. Okay. Apple versus Cup. Eli Apple versus Cooper Cup.
Oh, Cup. Yeah. Eli Apple don't want that. I'm gonna let you know. Like he's gonna have to, but they're gonna do something to help. Like Cooper, anybody versus Cooper Cup right now. He's the best in our game, man. I mean, this and here's the thing. This isn't scheme, y'all. Like, understand this dude. He sets routes and stems routes as well as anybody in the league. He finds ways to get open, and he can really, really hurt you with his moves coming out of his break. And so, man, Cup, I absolutely, and then some. I think Apple has played extremely well in these playoffs. He made a huge play against Tennessee, but when you think about him, he does not want that matchup. He ain't asking for that Ramsey treatment, I can assure you.
What do you think, Key?
I was just sitting here thinking to myself, what type of apple is Cooper Kupp going to make out of Eli Apple? Like, is it apple pie? Is it apple sauce? Is it caramel apple? Like, in the end, Eli Apple's a perimeter corner. If he had to go inside and cover Cooper Kupp has a two-way go in all the room in the world, and they're going to get him the football. Yeah. Cooper Kupp will come out of this thing with 10 catches, 100-plus yards, a touchdown or two. And, yeah, it's Eli Apple's toast.
Apple crumb cake?
Yeah, apple crumb
good.
Cake.
That sounds good. I like
Ooh,
that.
I do like apple crumb cake.
Some yeah. vanilla
apple,
ice cream.
All the apple, Ooh, all the apple Ooh, jokes fritter. Are going to be coming if Cooper Kupp gets the best of him.
Take away all the physical attributes, the football IQ alone of Cooper Kupp.
Oh, he's
it's just dazzling within itself. It just feels like it's the perfect combination. Right? Of like the IQ with the athletic ability that match itself is scary.
I mean, first of all, a receiver corner, of course the receiver has the advantage. And yeah. then Cooper Kupp is a better receiver than Eli Apple is a corner. Cooper Kupp all day.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's one of your old. You still don't have love for him from being a Giant, do you?
Well, except that with the Giants, yeah, it wasn't always smooth sailing.
Don't do that.
You know what I mean?
You took it right out of my mouth, Jeff, because anytime I've been noticing that about him and Eli
yeah.
Apple. It's a
Yeah.
Because of the Giants.
Yeah.
A little
saltiness. I felt it over here. A little saltiness.
The first round pick, man. We want a little more. You know what I mean? A little bit.
I just felt it. That's all I was saying.
At least you're honest about it.
All right. Yeah. Look, Rams or Bengals. Jeff, this one's just for you. We're going to make our picks later in the week. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Oh, y'all trying to put me on the spot right now on Wednesday? God, I don't – man, I don't know yet. I'm going to give the slight edge. I'm going to put the slight edge to the Rams.
On Wednesday. Yeah, we'll see about Thursday,
yeah,
right?
Thursday yeah. it might change. I'm
Are
gonna
you
the
taking
slight
the spread,
edge to the Rams.
Though? Are you taking the spread? -4.
No. I'm taking the Bengals on the spread. Dog.
Jay may have a problem, Jeff.
I'm taking that cash on them Bengals, dog. Is it 4.5?
It's just 4, not 4.5.
Oh, I thought it was 4.5.
Just 4, no, 4.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I'm going to still take the Bengals on the 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Jeff, did you take any Bengals throughout the take your pick? But
no,
then you
he did
took
not.
The Bengals in the game? Like what? That?
No. I didn't take them in the game.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, first of all. Don't try to press me, bro. Don't try to press me on my freaking money either. This is like a player talking to another player about his contract.
Exactly.
Dude. Don't push me on my money, dude. I know
don't
the props
force me to take
I'm
it in Bitcoin.
I know my business, bro.
Take out the point spread. Who's winning the game?
I'll go Rams. I'll go Rams. It's Wednesday. I may change tomorrow. I
have no idea.
Wait, I thought it was Saturday.
You've got to ask him on. By the way, you ask him on Saturday. He's still got another day to go.
I still got another one. I got until 6:15 to decide who I really want.
Jeff Wednesday.
Yeah.
It ain't Jeff
I got my
Thursday
ticket already.
Hey Jeff, the game is on Sunday. You see how I did that?
Yeah, I see.
Thank you, Jeff Saturday.
I appreciate it, y'all.
The trade that Saturday. Needs to happen.
We'll be quick with
at
this
five.
One. Number five, Caris LeVert. Remember Caris LeVert, the guy that found a mass lump on his kidney, had to stop playing basketball for a while, was with Indiana Pacers. Kobe Altman, the president of the Cleveland Cavaliers, has gotten him to the Cavs on expiring contracts like Ricky Rubio, and he's done some amazing things in a lottery-protected first-round pick and multiple second picks. Let me tell you what I love this for Cleveland. Guys, they're ranked fourth in the East. Cleveland is ranked fourth in the East. You combine Caris LeVert with the likes of Darius Garland, with the likes of Jared Allen that came over from Brooklyn, even with Evan Mobley. We were calling him a young baby Bosh. This team is destined to have a chance to compete for the Eastern Conference title. Cleveland without LeBron. Moving on.
At four.
Brian Windhorst says the Nets and the Sixers are talking James Harden trade. So yesterday I was laughing because Joel Embiid before the game was watching Madrid play soccer-wise. And he was saying things like, oh, we got to make a move. Make the call. Get it done. And everybody on Twitter was reacting to the fact that he thought they were talking about the James Harden trade. It just reminds me of how comedic social media is and Twitter is during these moments when everybody and their mom is thinking, what would Joel Embiid and James Harden be like on the same team? And would that want to give the Brooklyn Nets a heads up if they're able to get a guy like Ben Simmons combined with a guy like maybe Seth Curry? Who knows? We'll see. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
At three.
Russell Westbrook comments on the latest fourth quarter benching. I mean, come on. This is getting worse and worse and worse. And here's what I'm going to say. LeBron James and Russell Westbrook are so similar. A lot of people didn't think it would work from the beginning. You know why? Because Russell isn't that cerebral. And I think you saw multiple times last night, Russ is incredible. He gets you triple doubles. He has a hindrance of shooting the ball. But LeBron needs Russell to be cerebral and understand how to make everybody else better around him. He can only do that with the ball in his hands, Max. We have not seen Russell Westbrook do that without the ball in his hands. And what, we're going to have LeBron James be a spot-up three-point shooter? I'm sorry, guys. I want the ball in LeBron James' hands. It's not going to work with the Lakers this year. Moving on.
At two.
Sacramento Kings are just doing Sacramento King things, guys. I mean, I get it that they get Domantas Sabonis. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star. But nobody in the NBA, no one in the NBA saw Tyrese Haliburton being traded. He was one of the best young guards there is in the league. And now I see Haliburton and Buddy Hield going to the Pacers. The Pacers were thinking about doing a rebuild. But now you're talking about what they added. They're going to be right back in the mix. And it makes me always wonder, what the hell is going on, Sacramento? What are you doing? Are we making the same decisions that we made before in the past? Which has been bad decision after bad decision. Moving on.
And running point.
Number one, man, it's just C.J. McCollum going to the Pelicans. I mean, it was Norman Powell and Robert Covington being traded before. They are just absolutely clearing out house in Portland. I just want to remind people, it was several years ago that Portland was in the Western Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals. Dame was making bucket after bucket. We were talking about this team contending for an NBA championship. And now Norman Powell, Robert Covington, C.J. McCollum, that dangerous backcourt that they have is no longer. Now we're talking about a rebuild in Portland from Dame Lillard. It's just crazy to me how quickly we've gotten there for Dame Dollar.
Unless they're thinking about Ben Simmons in Portland. I don't know. The Blazers are in rebuild, right?
Is that going to be enough to get you to a Western Conference Finals?
You're right. What they were doing wasn't either. So what's next for Portland is now the question, right? Here is Brian Windhorst on Bart and Han. Listen.
I don't think they're done yet. So I would keep an eye out for the following move. Maybe not this week, but maybe around the draft. And then you come to Dame this summer, and you know he's eligible for a contract extension, which I think he's likely to sign if they're willing to offer it. So I think what they're looking for is they're trying to get younger and retrofit the roster, because the team that they had was okay, but they weren't, you know, proving to be significant contenders.
I'm still in shock that this trade went down. I mean, you said Ben Simmons, but what assets do you have to get Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
And it's like they made moves. Like they went out, they gave Norman Powell the bag, and then they let him go like a year later. Like Robert Covington was there. He left. He came back. Now he's gone. And just the C.J. McCollum thing, I think the Pelicans get better. The Pelicans are going to now make a push to try to get in the playing spot, which is shocking for them. I would never thought they would have been in this conversation. I understand that they want to build around Anthony Simmons, and I get that Dame is something that is a staple there. I just don't understand the reasoning behind it. I don't know what person that you can bring to Portland. And we talk about, hey, Cincinnati, right? Winning games. That has to be a reason why you want to come to Cincinnati, right? Joe Burrow, winning games. They're in the Super Bowl. When do you see Portland winning games in the West? Like, what do you – there's so many questions around this team. It's just
key. The Damian Lillard's like the Matthew Stafford in the NBA. You know, you're not in a winning situation.
Jay, why didn't they, beginning of the year, in the whole Ben Simmons, why didn't they participate at a heavy level in the Ben Simmons sweepstakes with CJ? Is it because all of a sudden he had the injury and that kind of threw him off a little bit in Philadelphia in terms of – because I always thought that was a play for them – is to move CJ to Philly.
That's
and
what
get
I thought.
Ben Simmons in return. But now you look up and he's at the Pelicans. They don't have any trade assets. Even when the offseason comes, the only trade asset you got is Dame Lillard. So what is that going to look like, right? Are you going to move him? Because you say you want to start, at least when he say that they want to start all over again and get young, do you move Dame Lillard to Philadelphia? Does he want to go to Philly in exchange for Ben Simmons and some other stuff?
Key, all I know is yesterday, and we're going to do it. I wrote this letter because, and I understand that he's 10 toes down and that he is built and he wants to stay in Portland, but I was one of those millions of people yesterday on social media just begging Dame, you deserve better, Dame. You deserve, I mean, it's just not the CJ McCollum stuff. It was the hiring of Chauncey Billups and the sexual allegations that came along with some of those issues that he had to address. It was the scandal with Neil O'Shea. There's so many things that have happened with this Portland Trailblazer organization that you see Dame just say, hey, this is my town, this is my city. I love Rip City. I get it. But I want him to get better and have a chance to win a championship. And he's not going to do that in
Portland. CJ McCollum didn't go to Philadelphia because Daryl Morey obviously didn't believe that he is a difference maker. He is better than just another guy, but not right. He wanted a bigger impact player, and unless Simmons can become that,
CJ.
No. On the Trailblazers can become that. Then Dame really doesn't have anybody. James Harden may be on the trade block, and Brian Windhorst is going to give us the latest in 40 minutes. But the beard is already back in Houston.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
I'm happy Lovey is getting his opportunity, but as I've said about the Texans' job all along, I would love to know the contract and how it reads.
It's always kind of felt like this, that there were black jobs. Is when a situation is bad, that's a black job.
I'm almost hot and cold. I'm glad a black coach got hired as a head coach, but I'm not going to disbar the situation in which he's hired in and a franchise that seems to have no clear direction on what they want to be or where they want to go.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Well, I tried to clear that up before the show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We'll try that again on ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speaker. So the Texans introduced Lovie Smith as their next head coach yesterday. And GM Nick Caserio was asked about the candidacy of Brian Flores, who was a finalist for the job.
Last week, the lawsuit was filed. How did that influence, if at all, getting to where you are now?
Yeah, good question. I would say didn't affect us at all. I would say just speaking specific to Brian. So, you know, I've known Brian a long time, you know, personally and professionally. I have a lot of respect for Brian as a coach and a person. You know, he was a part of this process. He's been a good coach in this league for a number of years. You know, part of my responsibility was to spend time with as many quality candidates as possible, and Brian was one of those. As it pertains to the individual lawsuit, I would say from the beginning of when we started our process, call it, you know, January 14th to now, there was multiple conversations throughout the course of, I would say, the last few weeks with a number of different candidates, and that was pretty fluid. I think this process in and of itself is very fluid, and we have
stairwell.
We got a fire.
But do not use the elevators.
Don't use the elevators.
Oh, the liar alarm went off. I mean, the fire alarm went off. The fire alarm went off in the middle
How
of the
How emblematic of the situation is that, Key?
No, it's pretty funny. fire alarm saved me. I didn't have to finish talking about that situation.
So, at any rate, if we take him at his word, that the Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL had nothing to do with the fact that he wasn't hired, even though he was a finalist, I guess it's possible. They hire Lovie Smith. He is now currently the second black head coach in the NFL. So there are two now, along with Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Lovie Smith lost a job basically for going to the playoffs every year without a quarterback. You know, it's like, Mike Tomlin, watch yourself. You never have a losing season. Lovie Smith's like, yeah, me too. I was winning all the time. I don't know what happened. All right. Key,
yo.
He said his goal is to provide more opportunities, Lovie Smith did, to black individuals as the head coach in Houston. He said, quote, it's not just about talk. Said this at the introductory press conference. When you look at my staff, that's what I believe in. And then letting those guys show you exactly who they are. That's how we can increase it, it being African Americans in positions of authority in the NFL and coaching positions of importance. What do you think about what Lovie had to say?
Well, Lovie is 100% right. He lives by what he says. You got to think all the way back as a connecting antenna, so to speak, is the late Denny Green and his entire staff. And I said this when I first got into the National Football League. When I played for the Jets, we played Minnesota. I think it was my second year at home in New York, and I looked across that sideline. And that entire sideline, you could tell Denny Green meant something. Black assistants everywhere. And then when I got to Tampa Bay, Lovie Smith was on that staff along with Herm Edwards and Coach Tony Dungy. But there was blacks in the front office, on the sidelines, in the training room. It meant something. It was important. And I think that is what you get going to get with Lovie Smith, who has hired his offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, who is black, not just in title, but he's actually going to call plays, so they won't, you won't have this, is Eric Bieniemy calling plays, or is it really Andy Reid? You won't have that. It's Pep Hamilton. And Lovie Smith got out in front of this. And look, a lot of people are going to try and make the notion that Lovie Smith was hired only due to the lawsuit with Coach Flores. I don't see it that way. I think Lovie Smith was hired because he's a damn good coach. On top of that, in fact, he may be the better coach for them anyway out of all the candidates. He's respected in the building. He understands the building. They need to change the culture, which he's going to be a part of, because he's certainly not signing up for a one-year job, Jay. This is a long-term situation at 63 years old for him. He's already doing more for that organization that they what they were doing in the past. Already.
Yeah, I think he is just overall the type of organization that he's had to inherit coming off the heels of David Culley being there for 1 year. Like, all right, well, you know, the second black guy has his job in the NFL, but it's because he had to inherit this type of situation coming off of when you hear that it's between Josh McCown and Brian Flores as finalists, and that's the talk. And then it's just all eerie to me. I mean, it's called energy, though, Max. Like, when I hear Nick Caserio trying to explain that had nothing to do with the negotiation or the lawsuit against the NFL, the fire alarm comes on, and like, it's not believable in the first place. All of it. It rubs me the wrong way about the organization.
But here's what I was saying. Knowing Lovie Smith, he ain't taking that job if it ain't right.
I hear you.
By the way,
I hear what you're saying.
Lovie Smith won 10, 11 games without a quarterback. I mean, I would not put it past him to win better than half a dozen games this upcoming season.
Yeah. One doesn't have anything to do with the other. You know what I mean, Key? Like, for Lovie, like, I want Lovie to have a good opportunity and do his thing.
One beard is back in Houston, guys. So what will happen to the beard who just left? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN News all morning long.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.